Hare Krishna, this morning we are reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kim Sampritam Ruchirayor Dija Shingayos Te Madhye Krisho Bahasi Yatra Dushi Shita Me Panko Luna Surabhi Atma Vishanga Vishana Idrit Idrit. What is it? Is that right? Idrik. Huh? Yena Shramam Shubhaga Me Shrabhi Karosi Kingsam Pritam Rucharayo Dvija Shringaya Oste Madhye Krishova Asi Yatra Dishi Shrita Me Pankoruna Surabhir Atma Vishana Idrik Yenashramam Shubhagame Shurabhi Karosi Keng Sampritam Ruchirayo Dvija Shringayoste Madhye Krisho Vahasi Yatra Dishi Shrita Me Pankoruna Shururabhir Atma Vishana Idre Yena Shramam Shubhagame Shurabhi Karosi Hing Sampritam Ruchirayo Dvija Shringayoste Madhye Krisho Vahasi Yatra Dishi Shrita Me Pankoruna Surabhir Atma Vishana Idre Yena Shramam Shubhagame Shurabhi Karosi Samvetam Ruchayayo Dvija Shingayoste Madhye Kim, what, samhritam, filled, ruchirayo, very beautiful, dvija, O brahmana, shringayo, within two horns, te, your, madhye, in the middle, krisha, thin, vahasi, you are carrying yatra, wherein dushi, eyes, shrita, attached, me, my, panga, powder, aruna, red, surabhi, fragrant, atma vishane, on the two horns, idridik, such, yena, by which, ashramam, place of residence, shubhaga, O most fortunate one, me, my, shrabhi karosi, you are perfuming. Translation, Agnitra then praised Puravachiti's raised breasts. He said, my dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is like the rising morning sun. O fortunate one, I beg to inquire where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence. Please repeat. Agnidra then praised Purvachiti's raised breasts. He said, my dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them. Powder that is like the rising morning sun. O most fortunate one, I beg to inquire where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence. Purple by Sivangai Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Agnidra appreciated Purvachiti's raised breasts. After seeing the girl's breasts, he became almost mad. Nevertheless, he could not recognize whether Purvachiti was a boy or a girl, for as a result of his austerity, he saw no distinction between the two. He therefore addressed her with the word Dvija, or Brahmana. Yet why should a Dvija, a Brahmana boy, have two horns on his chest? Because the boy's waist was thin, Agnidra thought that he was carrying the horns with great difficulty, and therefore they must be filled with something very valuable. Otherwise, why would he carry them? When a woman's waist is thin and her breasts are full, she looks very attractive. Agnidra, his eyes attracted, contemplated the heavy breasts on the girl's thin body and imagined how her back must sustain them. Agnidra imagined that her raised breasts were two horns she had covered with cloth so that others would not see the valuables within them. Agnidra, however, was very anxious to see them. Therefore, he requested, "Please uncover them so that I can see what you are carrying. Rest assured that I will not take it away. If you feel an inconvenience in removing your covering, I can help you. I myself can uncover them to see what valuable things those raised horns contain." He was also surprised to see the red dust of perfumed kumkum spread over her breast. Nevertheless, still considering Purvachiti a boy, Agnidra addressed her as Shubhag, most fortunate Muni. The boy must have been fortunate, otherwise how, simply by standing there, could he perfume Agnidra's entire ashram? End of quote. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pastara Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Translation again. Agnidra then praised Purvachiti's raised breasts. He said, "My dear Brahmana boy, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is just like the morning sun. O most fortunate one, I beg to inquire, where have you gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence?" So, continuing this section about Maharaj Agnidra, he's gone to the forest, the performance, there it is, desiring the sun, and Brahma has sent this beautiful lady to be his wife. And he is appreciating all of her, immediately is attracted upon seeing. That is the nature of the attraction between male and female. That is Krishna's creation. That there's a natural attraction. First by sight, then you want to talk, then you want to touch. That's the formula. That's the progression. Krishna says, "What is more powerful than my Maya in the form of a woman?" So even the great sages become bewildered. So the king here is bewildered. Well, actually, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, he's not bewildered. He's Srila Prabhupada kind of mentioned it later on. He's pretending. he's an expert at flattering the girl, and so he's according to Vishnu, he's pretending that he thinks she's a boy. But of course, we take the purport, the translation as it is. We speak on that. So when he says that's the nature of our parampara, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not the idea of being. The purpose of it is to give the reader direction and enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment, leading to love of God. So that's the main purpose. So the presentation may not be so, what's the word, organized or scholarly or like this. So we give purport on a specific verse, even though it may seem a little contradictory to the whole section, but still there's something, we're learning something from it, you see. And we're learning, as we heard a very detailed explanation yesterday in class by Gita Nagari Prabhu, different aspects of why this story is here, that what we can learn from the story, how this attraction for the material energy is so powerful. We had the Sambandha Gyan, which Bhagavatam is speaking, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. That's the message. It means understanding your relationship with the material world, with Krishna, and the interrelationships between them, Krishna's relationship with us and the material world also. That we have to have, one should have an understanding. In fact, they say one must understand what the material world is, otherwise you won't be able to become detached from it. So even the subject matter is the material world, and attachment to the material world, it's for our enlightenment, that we are attached to the material world. We are in this material world. We have these coverings. So therefore it's given like this. But obviously he wasn't actually a sage. He was a king. It wasn't like he just grew up in the forest. He was a king. He went to the. He was running. He's running Jambudvip. He was the emperor of Jambudvip. He went to perform austerities to fulfill his father's desire to manage the kingdom, and that means to have children, have a son. So he went for that. That was a cultured way of family planning. You go to the forest, perform austerities, control your senses if you want to manage or do something nice. then you perform austerities for to gain self-control. It's the same, to get mastery of your senses so you can do that, whatever you want to do perfectly. That was the system. So he knew the art of diplomacy, flattery. He was a king. So here, he's saying, he's pretending that she's a, thinking that, oh, young Brahmana. So he can say all this, he can express his desire in a way that is not to, but you see, this whole conversation, it takes probably two, what, if you read it as it is, the whole conversation would take 2 or 3 minutes, this section. What he's speaking to her would take 2 or 3 minutes, so in a couple of shlokas away, then he's going to ask her, oh, won't you be my wife? So within 2 minutes, he's gone from a brahmana to, you know, a brahmana sage to, you know, I'm going to marry you. So it seems like there's diplomacy there. I mean, there's something is known. There's another story in the Mahabharata. Similar situation. this boy, Rishyasringa, apparently he was born from the... it's like we heard a description yesterday of the apsaras, how gorgeous they are. Because Kapasya Muni, he just saw Urvasi. Urvasi is the best. Urvasi is the best girl, but the most... She's the hottest tomato, he said. She's gorgeous because she's created from the body of Narayan. You remember when they went to test him, Indra and all the demigods and the demigoddesses and Cupid, and Narayan just smiled and he produced unlimited, beautiful, gorgeous girls from his body and put them all to shame. So he says, take one, present, you take one. So that was Urvasi. So she's the best. Can't improve on that. So here's a sage. Kapasya, just by seeing her, he lost his vital seed, which was in the river, he was thinking about. And then a female deer drank the water and drank that and gave birth to a human child. But I think he had horns. That was Rishyasringa. And he was brought up by one sage in the forest, and he was kept completely isolated. He never saw anyone. He never saw a woman anyway. He practically never met anyone, and his father never taught him these things. So he's completely innocent, pure. then a neighboring kingdom, I think this is the time of King Dasarath, and one of the kingdom, this the king, he offended a brahmana. So all the brahmanas left his kingdom. And then there was a drought, a famine. And it was going on for years. There was no rain. It was really severe. So he called all the brahmanas. He called his court ministers, and they called in brahmanas. What to do? They said, you can only resolve this problem if you marry your daughter to a person who's never seen a woman in his life. So they said, he said, is there such a person? They said, yes, Rishyasringa. So he said, can you go and get him? They said, no, we're not going to bring him here to get married. His father will curse us, he's a sage. So he said, well, how can we get him? So then the ministers devised a plan that we can get him. So they got some young prostitutes, society girls, who they said, this is our operation. Can you do it? Can you go and perform this? He said, yeah, we can do it. Give us all facility. So they built this huge floating ashram with little, you know, straw houses and trees. And they floated by nearby Rishyasringa's place where he was staying. It was near the river. And they waited till the sage left. And then they went in. And immediately he was attracted. And they had saffron and top knots and shit like this. But immediately he was attracted by them. They looked so nice. And they speak so nice. Because he'd never met people. And So he said, who are you? Where are you from? He said, oh, we're from the ashram of such and such person, nearby, a few miles away, 30 miles away. So they said, so then he welcomed them and washed their feet and argued what he had learned from his father. And they said, well, where we come from, we have different customs of reception. We'll show you our customs. So then they gave him a big hug, embraced him very nicely. And they fed him all these nice sweets, sandesh. He's only eaten fruits and roots. He's never practically tasted sugar before. All these lovely sweets, and he thought they were some erotic fruits. And so they had to go quickly before the sale, but at night he couldn't sleep. He was just thinking, who are these people? They're so nice, they're so attractive. And they got bumps on their breasts, and not like on their chest, not like us. But he just couldn't stop thinking about them. His mind was really... So because that natural attraction is there. So even he didn't know, he wasn't... There was no... Prabhupada said there's no question of sex psychology. Sometimes they teach sex psychology in school or university. He says, no, it's a natural psychology there. It's a natural attraction. So then he just couldn't get him off of his mind. He couldn't stop thinking about him. And then another time they were waiting, and the sage went away for some time. And then they came and again they approached him, and he was so happy to hear their sweet words. So they said, why don't you come to our ashram? So he said, okay. Then he went to they got on the boat, and they pulled up the anchor, and they floated to the other kingdom. And as soon as they got to the kingdom, it started to rain. Immediately. So then the king came and worshipped him, and everyone came out and made a big reception for him, and worshipped him really nicely, and presented his daughter to him. So, and then fell at his feet and said, please forgive us, don't curse us, and tell your father that you have there's no offense made like this, because they are frightened of the curse. So in this way they did the trick, and the father, of course, he was really, he went marching down there, but then they received him, worshipped him, and then he became peaceful. So you see that natural attraction there. So it doesn't, when it's enhanced, then it's even greater. So the natural attraction. Then even on certain parts of the body, there's a pleasure coating which Krishna has given. So this is what you're dealing with in the material world. And this is just one thing. This is emphasized because it's considered a very great pleasure. Right? Everyone's looking after that pleasure. The whole world is going that way. So it's very difficult to become free from this Maya. That's why there's so many different stories, as we heard yesterday. What is the result of all this King Agnirdas and all that? What is the result? You know, he takes birth and then starts another adventure. Right? So it doesn't solve the problem. Materially, you can't resolve the problem, which is the problem is it's a spiritual problem. The living entity by nature is the eternal servant of Krishna. Is serving him with love. We've forgotten that. And when in the material world, then you're covered with this false identity. You've got to deal with that. Then on top of that, there's this intelligence, material intelligence, which we're trying to figure everything out with. Then covering that, there's his mind, which is saying, I want this, I don't want that. And then you've got these five Mahabhutas, whatever you perceive and hear through the senses. And it's overwhelming. It's what we're dealing with is the time and the three modes of material nature. So everything is conducted in time. So the three modes of material nature constantly changing, fluxing, so everything is constantly coming and going here. Nothing's permanent because it's conducted by time. But we're looking for something consistent, because we are actually, the soul is consistent. our consistency is experienced if we're not self-realized. So our desires are consistent. We're consistently desiring shelter, a way out of problems, a betterment. We're always looking for that, and happiness. That's consistent, and everyone's looking for those two things: freedom and happiness. But it's not to be there, because everything is constantly changing. The soul is constant, but everything else is fluxing, changing. So therefore, can't be any satisfaction in the material realm. But this is called Maya. We're looking for in the material world for it. But first of all, you've got to be peaceful, because the material world energy is aggressive. This time is aggressive, right? Personified, it was the Visharup. Krishna, Arjuna was shaking like a leaf when he saw that. What is this horrible form? This is time. This is what is going on here. And everyone is subject to it. So there's no rest, there's no peace in the material world. Not for long. Because time is taking, everything is coming and going again. So you'll get a peaceful situation, it'll go away. You get a happy situation, it'll go away again. Krishna says it's a dukkalaya. Material world is temporary and it's full of misery. That is the nature of this place. We are eternal and full of happiness. No, that's our nature. So there's a rasa basa, but we're trying to adjust in this material. We're identifying, projecting our consciousness on the material energy and trying to adjust to get what we want, which is complete satisfaction, complete happiness. In reality, the perfection of that is in the relationship with Krishna. Because the Mayavadis, they also get out of the material world. The Jnanis, they get the shanti, they get the peace, they get freedom from the modes of material nature and time, but they don't get the bliss, actually. But that's more important. What is more important now, your safety or your happiness? So it depends. When you're safe, then you can think about happiness. When there's danger, then you have to deal with this first before you can think about being happy. You've got to remove the danger or the threat. So therefore, the mukti is more popular than bhakti. Because bhakti is not understood. People think just to be free from problems is great. Therefore you find, because we have to speak about Ratyatra also, so I'm bringing it in. And you find that the Ratyatra festival is a very, very esoteric festival. It's the biggest, not the second biggest festival, I think, in India. The biggest festival is Kumbh Mela. Right? So why do you go to Kumbh Mela? That's a festival. You go there for, well, many different reasons. You go there a bit to see who's who, and you know who's got the biggest jat and who's got the biggest board around them, who's got the least clothes on, or who's got the, you know, who's the, all the, everyone is there. Well, but ultimately the thing is liberation, freedom, right? You don't go to Kumbh Mela for happiness. You go to Ratyatra for happiness, right? It's the second biggest festival. So you go there to enjoy it, for happiness. You go to Ratyatra festival. You don't go to Kumbh Mela for that. It's a place of austerity and, you know, renunciation and finish the material world. So Ratyatra is much more attractive. Everyone's attracted to Ratyatra. Of course, they go there for different reasons. You know, social, religious, all kinds of things. Material and spiritual, but ultimately it's very attractive, because it's embodying the most attractive principle within and without creation. It means the love of Krishna and the Gopis. It's the highest esoteric principle of Vipralamba and Sambhog, meeting and separation, which the highest component in the spiritual world, Golok, is composed of these two things. Krishna's coming and going, Krishna's meeting and leaving. So that's the essence of that's why it's so attractive. Everyone's attracted to that. I mean, we're going for different reasons, but there's, you can't admit there's attraction is there. So it's very, 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 very esoteric. The whole thing of Radhe. Not many people understand this, that esoteric nature of it. Not many, and hardly one or two actually experience it. Because we see when Lord Chaitanya was there, Mahaprabhu was there, he is the Lord himself in disguise. He's Krishna himself as a devotee. His shakis are there, Radha's there, and the gopis are there in male forms, and then he's there on the cart as Jagannath in a form that is experiencing Vajrabhav, but in a place where he's living as a king. He's all kinds of, he's very, very deep expanded spirituality. But the very essence of spirituality is that. They're experiencing, the gopis, they're experiencing Ripalamba and Sambhog at the same time. Krishna's there in front of them. You're the same Krishna and the same Radha. It's the same moonlit night of Chaitra, the same, but it's not the same. You're not Krishna. You're not the Krishna. You're not that Krishna that we used to enjoy on the banks of the Rivati, on the Jamuna with. You're not that Krishna. You're the same person, but you're not acting like that. You've got your crowns and your armor and the chariots are here and the horses and the elephants. You can't be the same here. So you please come back to Vrindavan. This is the Bratiyacha. Let's go back to Vrindavan. Krishna said, I have another Vrindavan in Dwarka. Especially in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita description. They made it, when Krishna's in feeling separation from the Vrijvasis, then a special garden was created by, I can't remember, Lord Brahma or Vishwakarma, a replica of Vrindavan in Dwarka. And Krishna in his madness, when he's really, they take him there and he thinks he's in Vrindavan, so he gets some consolation. But of course it's not real. the statues there and things like that. But he thinks seeing the Vrijvasis like statues is not uncommon, because that's one of the ecstatic symptoms, right? You become stunned. So, so he said, we got. I said, no. There's no comparison to Vrindavan. We can't go there. It's you in Vrindavan as Nandan, Govinda, or nothing. So that's the. Because the Vrijvasis are the most intimate devotees. You see, the gopis are very, very intimate with Krishna. Because they know how to please Krishna the best. Not only they, but the Vrijvasis, they know how to please Krishna the best. Because The qualification of being a Vrijvasi is that Krishna's happiness is paramount. Krishna's happiness is the only important thing. If it takes me to suffer or be unhappy to bring Krishna pleasure, then that's also pleasure for me. I consider that pleasure. That's a state of love for Krishna there. And that's the qualification for going to Vrindavan, at least as a human. So that was displayed there at Rathiatra. that's going on at Radhyatra. So it's the topmost spiritual principle, most esoteric principle of spiritual life is being manifest in this world in the form of Jagannath Radhyatra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, his Prakatalila is there, his Archa Vigraha, Archa Avatar is there, Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, Gupta Avatar, hidden avatar. But who knew that? When Mahaprabhu is chanting those songs, those prayers sung by the gopis in the 10th canto, that, you know, I'm this, you're the same person, I'm the same person, but it's just not the same. Come back. Nobody could understand. We only hear of Srila Rupa Goswami understanding. Of course, probably Swarup Damodar and Nityananda, they would probably understand, but at least others. But he's the only one we hear about understanding the mind of Lord Chaitanya. So it's a very, very esoteric principle. So we can hear it, we can understand it. This is what is actually going on there. And that is why it's so attractive, because the gopis are they're the highest principle of pleasure. They're the personification of the pleasure potency, Haladini Shakti. So that's what you're dealing with there, those with Krishna. So that's why Radhyatra is very attractive. But it's very rare that very few people know this aspect, and even less someone can actually enter into that. That's very, very uncommon. So there must be some great Rasika Bhaktas around, but it's very, very uncommon. Otherwise, we didn't hear of the anyone mentioning it besides Srila Rupa Goswami. Mahaprabhu, how did you understand my mind? Not possible. So that is the. So here we got the two. We got the two principles of. The principles of Madhura Ras, which is considered the pinnacle of the spiritual life of the pastimes. And then you got here reflected in the material world, we got all these descriptions, and everyone is running after these principles of connecting the senses with the sense objects according to their perception. And as a result, you just stay in the material world, and from one venture to another venture in different planetary systems. But there's no satisfaction, nobody is satisfied. The success stories, they're the ones that go back to God, they're the ones that forget about this. So, but still one has to know what's going on. Because this is, then we can diagnose ourselves that we also have a disease, and we need treatment. If we don't know we're suffering from a disease, if we think everything's going on normal, then we won't take the required medicine. So that's why this sambandha of understanding our relationship with the material world is maya. So we should understand that, otherwise how can we give it up? Unless we understand what it is, how can you give it up? Because it's attractive. We've forgotten the attractiveness of Krishna. Right? He's covered us with his illusory potency. So now we're looking for that happiness, that refuge in the material world. So here is a description of something which is very suitable. We think we can find shelter there, right? In some soft arms or some strong arms. We think that will give us, solve the problem and make us peaceful. It didn't work. And then you have to, as soon as that body dies, you have to take it out of the house. Within hours. You have to take it away. So it's not that which is actually the that object of pleasure after a few hours becomes something else. Immediately you have to take it out of the house before the day is over, right? But that's what we're actually chasing after. That's what we're attached to. But you see, even all over the universe are doing the same thing, at least up to Mahaloka. The above planet, Japaloka, Gyanaloka, Sataloka, they're for places, those people, generally they won't come back. They've gone there, they're not looking for sense gratification. They're looking for out. But everywhere else, it's the same old story. And no one said it's nobody, there's no winners. Only when the devotees come and enlighten the us conditioned souls, then we can, and we take it seriously, then we can begin the progressive progress back to Godhead. So the Lord has given unlimited mercy in the form of Lord Jagannath, Rathyatra. It says even just by seeing the Rathyatra, by pulling the cart or following, one doesn't have to take birth again. Hare Bhava. Seems very simple, but out of billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of living entities throughout the universe, how many of them actually get a chance to see the Ratka? So it's not in comparison with the amount of living entities, it's actually uncommon. So we shouldn't think these statements are overstatements. Of course, he doesn't say when. Sometimes he says you won't take birth again. But sometimes he says you'll go back to the Godhead. Then it doesn't say when. But sometimes he says you won't take birth again. So that's reassuring. Anyway, this merciful form of Lord Jagannath has come here. He stays throughout, right up through Kali Yuga. He stays, giving his benediction. We'll take advantage of his presence while he's here in Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. You can see him any time in the temple now, and remember his about his appearance, what the reason for his appearance, how he's come to bless the conditioned souls, and give the by seeing Lord Jagannath, we can also remember the most esoteric aspects of spiritual life and love of God. So we should consider ourselves very fortunate to have the association of Jagannath, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his devotees, and their pastimes, which have been revealed to us by the pure devotees. Jagannath Swami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Dai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I don't know what the time is, it's probably over, but Hare Krishna.